The question was asked, how do we balance trying to be a better person and not becoming depressed? A person can sometimes look back and say, well, I should have done this better, and I should have done that better. And when a person does that, so it can be depressing. Because
in my young years, I had such depression. Even sometimes I turn from the God because it's too difficult for my young age, for my not when I was a teenager, for my not so strong, it's a good balanced cycle. It's trying all the God of the sins, and I see, oh, I seem here, I seem here, there, oh, and so many things. It's so difficult. We must make this confession at every step. It is impossible to live, to progress. It's all around moving. Made the money, made success, and how is it possible?
The question is, if a person is constantly second-guessing everything he does, and even when he does positive, he says, yes, but my intentions weren't exactly right, I didn't do this well enough, a person can end up being depressed, and a person can go crazy. So when it comes to the question of balancing, on the one hand, trying to become a better person, trying to perfect ourselves, on the other hand, not shooting ourselves down, not knocking ourselves constantly. So I want to begin with a story that we've mentioned many times. There was a kid whose parents had serious marital issues. And when he became 13, so his father calls him into the room one day and says, son, I have a surprise for you. So he says, what is it? So he says, you're going to Israel. So he says, really? He says, yes, there's a great yeshiva there. You're going to go learn in high school in Israel. So the father hands him the ticket, and he looks at it, and he looks at the other side, and he says, Dad, there's only one ticket here. And his father says, I know, son, I know. So the father takes the son and brings him here to Israel and puts him in a yeshiva, one-way ticket. And it happened to be the yeshiva Kfar HaRoeh, Rav Neria's yeshiva. So the kid is here, and he's trying to make things work. And he starts going to mikveh every Friday. And when he goes to mikveh, so it happens that he bumps into Rav Neria on the way. Rav Neria was a disciple of Rav Kook's, the Rosh Yeshiva of Kfar Roeh, the one who headed Bnei Akiva. So it became a routine that they'd walk together to the mikveh every Friday. And then Rav Neria would immerse himself. He'd go out and get ready, and then the kid would go in and immerse himself, and then Rav Neria would wait for him to get ready, and they'd walk back up the path back to the yeshuv together. So one time, Rav Neria is going down to the mikvah on Friday, and the kid comes to go with him, and Rav Neria sees that he's very upset. So Rav Neria asks him, what's wrong? Why are you so upset? So being a teenager, he says, where in the Torah does it say I'm not allowed to be upset? I'm upset. And what's wrong with being upset? What if there is there to be upset? So Rav Neria smiled and told him, there's no specific avera against being upset. But by being upset, one can come to do the worst averas in the world. There's no problem inherently with being upset. If you're angry, you're upset, fine. But when a person is angry and upset, so that can lead him to the worst averas. Rav Kanievsky recently wrote something similar. There's a famous letter in which he writes that people have to be careful, especially Talmidim in yeshiva, from taking too many stringencies upon themselves, because when a person takes on chumrot, so sometimes the Yetzer Hara is what's driving us to take on more stringencies, because when we take on more stringencies, eventually we become depressed. Eventually it's beyond what we could handle, and we... when we take on the chumrot, so we reach a point where we feel like we can't live up to all of this. And when we can't live up to all of this, so then we stop doing not only the chumrot, but we stop doing the basic laws as well.
What is chumrot?
Stringencies. Extra stringencies.
Extra things to do.
Right. Things that, by the letter of the law, you don't have to do. If you want to be extra stringent, you could do them. Mm-hmm. So he writes that one of the things that the Yetzer Hara does to bring down guys is that he gets them to do extra stringencies and they go beyond where they should, and then they're not happy in their performance of mitzvot, and then they say, okay, I can't hack this, and then they stop doing everything. So a person always has to know where are things holding.
Well, I think in the simplest way is that someone who looks to make it every day takes upon himself to make it every day. If he misses one day, then he's like just so much less holy than he would be if he won every day.
Fine. Well, each person has to see what fits for them.
Like, right, right, but someone that's used to going every day to mikvah, he has after you come out of the mikvah, you have this feeling of whole of extra holiness. When you do that every day and then you miss one day, you feel bad that you didn't go that one day. But right. In fact, most people don't go once a week.
Right, right. It's a good example. So we have to remember that every good thing, if taken to the extreme, can become a bad thing. The same thing would be with regard to second-guessing ourselves. I remember once I called Rav Pesen Zatzal and we were discussing my learning, and I told him, look, I'd like to add A, B, and C, but I think that things are going well now. I think I shouldn't touch it. Like, I don't think I should start adding this or changing that. So he told me this point. He said, sometimes it's the Yetzer Hara that drives us to try to figure out how to make it better. If it's going well, leave well enough alone. Don't try to make it better. Sometimes by trying to make it better, you actually ruin something that's going well as it is going. When it comes to tshuva, so there it's slightly more tricky. Because on the one hand, part of growth is self-analysis. But on the other hand, when that's taken to the extreme, so then a person sees that it's beyond what he can handle. Even within the confines of tshuva, when we say a person, let's say, hasn't been keeping any mitzvot, so we've often discussed that we say build. You can't take everything at once. So a person builds slowly. He begins by learning some halachot and trying to perform them. And then he learns a little bit more and tries to perform them. And throughout life, we try to perfect things. Chazal taught us a rule, the Mishnah Navot says, Lo alecha hamlacha ligmo. You're not responsible for finishing things. You're not responsible for getting to a finished product. Life is work throughout life. At the same time, Ratab ben Chulin li baten mimena. A person can't say, okay, so I don't do anything, I just sit back. There's a balance. We have to try to take chunks that we can handle. At the same time, we have to not over work ourselves. We have to find the balance to do what we should and not try to do beyond that, because then we hurt ourselves. Part of what the Yetzer Hara does sometimes to a person is make him second guess himself. Sometimes we're not doing anything wrong. I'm doing what's right. And I'm doing as best as I can do it at this stage of my life. But what the Yetzer Hara will get you to do is to second guess yourself. Maybe I should do this differently. Maybe I should do that differently. Chazal teaches that when a person is in a difficult situation, so he's supposed to do cheshbon ha-nefesh. Should stop and think, what should I change? So that's the correct thing to do. Yet at the same time, not everything requires changing. Sometimes we're tempted to say, well, I'll do this differently or that differently. There's a famous story. I don't know if there's any truth to the story or if it's brought down in any reliable source, but they say that when the Rambam wrote that there are no demons, the demons got very upset at him. And they came to his backyard and started making a horror show. So his son comes and says, Dad, you see what's going on back there? So the Rambam said, yeah, from Shemaim they're testing me to see if I'll maintain my psak. That was my ruling, that's what I came up with, that's the halacha. And in Shemaim they're testing me to see if I'll go back on it. So I don't know if there's any truth to the story, but... That's a separate discussion. Well, how does the Rambam understand those Gemaras? I'm just saying, sometimes the test is that we will second-guess ourselves, and we shouldn't second-guess ourselves. Sometimes what I did was right. There's no reason I should feel bad about it. And sometimes it's unclear whether we should second-guess ourselves or not.
But second-guessing means that you're doubting the first, which means you have some doubt on your first analysis, which means that you didn't completely... analyze properly, since you're second guessing.
Not necessarily. Sometimes second guessing stems from weakness, and sometimes you did the best you could where you couldn't know. It says that Rabbi Yochanan, when he was about to pass away, so one of the things he told his students is, I see before me two paths, and I don't know down which path I'm going. I don't know if I'm going up to heaven or down to perdition. Rabbi Yochanan, he's the one that saved Yavne and the wise men. He's the one that's saved. Thanks to him, we have a remnant of Torah Shebaal Peh. But he said, yeah, maybe I should have spoken better to the Caesar when I was snuck out to the Caesar and he had the siege on Jerusalem. Till his last day, he was doubtful. Did I do what was right or not? And the Gemara itself has different opinions, whether he was right or wrong. One opinion says that. Another opinion says he couldn't have. He thought he wouldn't get away with that. That the Caesar would have told him, go fly a kite. You can't ask me to just change my whole public foreign policy because of you. We don't know. The Gemara has different opinions about whether what he did was right or wrong. So he himself, to the end of his days, was questioning himself. Did I do right? Did I do wrong? And he said, I'm about to find out, when he was about to die. But second-guessing ourselves isn't necessarily a bad thing, but often it can be. And part of growth is looking forward. When we take time for introspection, we have to limit it, and we also have to try to maintain a positive note with introspection. And the focus should be, how will I be better tomorrow? And we can't focus too much on what was wrong yesterday. If we want to continue growing and remain positive, then the focus has to continuously be positive. Okay, how am I going to be better tomorrow?
First analysis, you realize that, I don't know, it seems like, I think it's almost, you're saying like, look forward,
not to stress too much there. Of course, we have to look back in order to look forward.
Right.
But we have to maintain a positive forward. Meaning a person can delve into, I feel bad I did this, I feel bad that was wrong. Or a person can think, this was wrong, and I feel bad it was wrong. And the focus can be not only, well, what was wrong, but okay, now how am I going to be better tomorrow? How am I going to fix this? What am I going to do to ensure that this doesn't happen again? When a person focuses on what was wrong in the past and keeps thinking about that, for sure you have to look. You have to recognize it in order to move forward, but not dwell on it. Yeah. I want to end with one point. There's always room for better perfecting a mitzvah. The Hasidim say, and this concept shows up in Midrashim as well, that Hashem gave us all these mitzvot so that hopefully within our lifetime there will be one mitzvah that we do right. It's very hard to do mitzvah right. Almost everything that we do, if not everything that we do, is affected by external stimuli. I wake up early for minyan. I'll feel better about myself if I wake up early. My roommates will see I'm a good guy. People will say nice things about me. Everything we do, there are a lot of impurities in our actions, and there's always room to become better. That shouldn't bring us down. That's part of life. And throughout life, we're working to become better people. And Bezat Hashem, it's an ongoing process.